This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. For almost 200 years, the Rabbit Hash General Store has been a meeting place along the Ohio River in Boone County. But in February, fire destroyed the historic landmark. Efforts are underway to restore it. Joining me to give us an update, our founder and president of the Rabbit Hash Historical Society, Don Clare, and from the Cultural Resources Management and Historic Preservation Services Company, Kevin's not here. Mike's
no,
here, right?
Mike.
I got that wrong. I'm sorry. Kevin Pape was supposed to join us. He is ill today, so we wish him well. But Senior Manager of Archaeology is here, Mike Stryker. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Certainly glad to have you. For people that are not aware, let's give a little bit of background on the Rabbit Hash General Store. I think people maybe have heard of it but haven't been there. But in February, a big fire. Tell us what happened.
It was the... actually, the night before Valentine's Day, and it caught fire, which was our worst fear ever. The store was built in 1831, and it's been the center of that whole community ever since. We continue to have it operating as a general store. It's been through probably 30 or 40 different Ohio River floods and survived. It's a National Historic Landmark. The whole town centered around it is a National Register district. The building itself is on the National Register. And what it is, it represents a small rural agrarian Ohio River town that there are very few of them left. It was a... the building originally was built to house local people's produce down by the river landing. And when steamboats came in, they'd load or offload products. And that's how the farmers got rid of their excess produce.
Now, the store obviously had been there a very long time, had lots of antiques in it and those sorts of things. Mike, maybe you can tell us a little bit. Is there anything left after the fire?
After the fire, there was, there's a lot of structural damage, obviously. Most of the stuff that was in the store was lost. There is some structural remains. As part of the restoration process, we are trying to use as much of the original fabric of the building as possible. So what was still remaining has been taken down, dismantled, and is in the process of being cleaned and readied for reuse. As far as the stuff in the store, there was a lot of damage, obviously, to the stock and to the antiques that were in there. Most of those are lost. But we do have some of the actual structure of the building, the foundation, the frame, and some of the exterior and interior walls.
There was some talk about a wood-burning stove. Is that still available to be used?
Or? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called the Rabbit Hash Ironwork Stove. It was built by the original owner of the town of Rabbit Hash. He made these stoves mainly because they were very efficient and safe, and you know, everybody jumped to the conclusion that the fire was started by the stove, which is not true at all. The stove was still going 2 days later with everything intact. It was an electrical cause to the fire.
Was it Coke machine? Is that?
It was a Coca-Cola cooler. The fire investigator was there probably for about 9 hours. And I watched him. He looked like a coroner doing an autopsy. I mean, using little dental tools and everything. And he found the exact location of the origin of the fire. And it was in that center Coke cooler that we had.
Now, let's talk about, you talk about some of the things that you are trying to, the fabric of the store, you're trying to keep going in, as part of the restoration. Why is that important?
Well, because the store was on the National Register, is on the National Register, we want to keep it that way. So we're going through a process with the Commonwealth of Kentucky where they have a state-level tax credit program where you can submit plans to do a rehab or a restoration of a building and get tax credits for it. Now, the Rabahesh Historical Society owns a store, and they're a nonprofit, so they wouldn't actually get tax credits themselves, although they have a program in Kentucky where you can sell the tax credits. So that would help recoup some of the cost of building the store. But to keep it on the National Register, we are following the Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation, which state that you're going to the extent possible, use the same materials or what we call like materials. So if you have, say, you had a very old building with hand-sawn boards, you would want to try to use hand-sawn boards to the extent possible. If you have a certain type of interior siding, so for example, the store had a lot of tongue and groove overlapping siding in it, we want to use the same materials in there so that when the restoration is complete, somebody can walk into the store and feel like they've been there before. It should be recognizable as the store that it was.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. If you have a memory of the Rabahesh General Store, we'd love to have you share it. If you have any questions about the restoration and the efforts to get that done, we'd be happy to have our guests answer those today. Again, 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. As you're talking about these materials that you want to use again, I did some reading and saw that they came from some boats that came down the river. How did that all work?
Well, I was talking to Mike just today, and the real fun part of this, dismantling the what was left, was finding clues of where everything came from and how it was done initially. And what we found was on these boards, they were 2-inch thick, 23-inch wide, 14-foot long white pine. And white pine is not available in our area. It's something that came from the southern states, especially Louisiana, and the southern states down there used a lot of white pine. It's called clear white pine. If you tried to buy it today, it's $80 or $90 a foot for this wood. And the boards on the exterior of the central bay of the Rabahesh Historical Society was built out of these big, huge boards. And as we took it down on the side of the boards, we actually found a painted sign that went the length of that building that was so faded we couldn't really tell what it said, but a couple of the words, one of the words looked like Bayou, and another one L.A., like Louisiana. And barge boards are huge timbers. They're in the floor joists of the central bay is a full 4.5-inch thick 14-foot board, and they have holes drilled right down the center of them, which indicates that at one time it was probably part of a wooden river barge.
Now, did you not know this before the fire?
We heard stories that it was. This just kind of verifies it and gives us, almost call it archaeological evidence, but it kind of verifies those stories that we've grown up with.
Our number is 513-419-7100. Mike's calling from Fittingtown. Hi, Mike. What's your question today?
Hi. Yeah, I was just wondering, since the building, the location is obviously in a floodplain that gets flooded regularly, why would you want to spend all this money and effort to rebuild that building there?
Well, the building itself is very important to the community of Rabahesh and the larger community surrounding it. As Don was saying, it's served as a general store for 180 years and has always fulfilled that purpose. We had a public meeting down there in Rabahesh to talk about what was important in the restoration of the store. And one of the things that everybody brought up was maintaining its role as a general store in the center of the town. And that's actually one of the challenges that we're facing with this restoration is because it isn't a floodplain, we have some issues that we have to deal with the restoration because it's a general store, it sells perishable items. The health department is asking us to put in a bathroom to meet current codes. It's never been done before. But because it's on the floodplain, we have some big limitations with what we can do with septic systems and stuff like that. But the real answer to the question is that we want to maintain the store's role in the community.
Mike, thanks so much for your question. We appreciate your call. Before we run out of time, very quickly, there was some insurance, so there is some money, is that correct, and to help with the rebuilding efforts,
right.
Restoration effort,
mm-hmm.
efforts?
We had a insurance policy, a fire insurance policy, and at the time, it's probably 35 years ago, we bought that policy. And at the time, we had the maximum fire insurance on the building, which at that time was $30,000. And by the time it actually burnt, it was $60,000. And that was the maximum we were allowed to put on that building because of its construction and the fact that it was, they considered it like a tobacco barn or a hay barn, something that
And right now, I'm rushing only because we're running out of time here, but you have a fundraising effort in place and you're hoping to raise more money so you can restore the building, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been a lot of help from people who are interested in Rabbit Hash holding their own fundraisers to help us out, which is wonderful.
And we can find information about that on our website, wvxu.org. We're out of time. Thanks so much for being here. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking about restoration of the Rabbit Hash General Store. My guests today were founder and president of the Rabbit Hash Historical Society, Don Clare, and senior manager of archaeology, Mike Stryker.